If you have a life built on the practice of none of these things move me, then line them up. Let them lie about you. Let them cheat on you. And you stand there and say, none of these things move me.
Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearsons bring a message today on how to remain calm and stay in peace, even when you're faced with overwhelming circumstances. Next, right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. And we receive revelation from heaven. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank God we have a Savior. And His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremy, I want us to just really plow right back into this today. And we're talking about that we got a dynamite move of God going on among the children. We've got a move of God going on among junior high kids' age. We've got a move of God going on in high school kids' age. We've got a dynamic move of God going on in college age. It has now spread through this whole spectrum from the cradle to graduation day. I mean, God is really moving. Yeah. He's really reaching out to our young people today, and of course, you and Sarah are right in the middle of all this. Kelly and her kids are all right in the middle of it. All of us are, but you guys are seeing it happen. And this pressure that's on these young people is far greater than it was when I was a teenager. And the pressure at that time, I thought, was just, you know, just horrendous. It was for that time.
Sure.
But, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. I mean, it is just horrendous out there now. But where sin does abound, grace does much more abound.
Yeah.
Let's get right back in here, because you're talking about the things that are vital to everybody's life, but particularly in the lives of our children, our grandchildren. And so many people are just so depressed and so down over there. Yeah, but my kids, look at our kids. They're just going to hell. You're looking in the wrong place. There's a bunch of them that are not going to hell. I mean, there are literally hundreds of thousands of young people all over this country and all over the world that are hungry for God. You just give them a half a chance and 25, 30,000 of them will show up in a field out there somewhere to praise God.
They do. Amen.
It's happening, isn't it?
And that's what we're talking about this week. We're talking about living this thing every single day. And there are things that you and I can say and can do and can believe and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His completed work and life application things that will see this spirit of faith rise up in us so that every minute of every day.
Now that's 1440.
1440, 1,440 minutes in every day. We're living every minute, every day, all for the glory of God, by faith in Jesus.
Yes,
and that's really the reason we're talking to you this week. And let me just recap with where we started at the beginning of this week. We're asking questions. They're questions for you to answer, questions for you to ask yourself honestly. Stand there in front of that mirror and beginning with this question: can I believe this? Can I believe what's written here? The answer is yes, you can. Do you believe it? And we move from that, and my next question to you is, how's your heart? Because 2 Corinthians says we do not lose heart. We're not quitters. We're not drawn back. We're not giving up. What condition is your heart in? And yesterday I asked you, is it going to be and or but? Because there's a real difference in the attitude that you approach and how you handle pressure and how you deal with situations and circumstances.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Right.
We are...
So you're telling me you can be in trouble without being distressed?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what the Scripture says.
You know what I learned from Gloria way back there? You give her trouble, you put pressure on her, she goes... She just settles in. And she is the most immovable human being you've ever seen in your life. She doesn't do this. She just goes, I saw it save her life. On our first anniversary, we were out on the lake. Our anniversary is in April, as you know. And we were out on the lake. And there's a little boat that wasn't mine. I'd rented it from the marina there. So I didn't know anything about this little rig. We were just headed by smooth water. And a little handheld with the throttle was on the handle. Well, I've raised driving those little outboards like that. How many times your vibration makes your hand itch, you turn it loose, and, you know, and reach back there and get it. I turned that thing loose, and that whole rig just went wild. That just changed the ends. It did a 360 just like that. And when the bow jerked this way, it threw her out of the boat this way. And the engine and all ran right over where she went in the water. Man alive, man, she and I hadn't been saved in a few days. And I didn't know nothing about living by faith. It just scared me just silly there for a moment. Man, I finally grabbed that engine and turned it back around there and killed it. And I had my foot up on the rail and I was headed in and she bobbed up out there. Well, I got her in the boat. I said, "You all right?" "Yeah, I'm fine." Well, I turned back around and I started this thing, put it in gear, and it died. Well, I did that two or three times, and I pulled the engine up out of the water. The towel that was around her neck was wrapped up in the prop. Well, I asked her later. I said, "Baby, what happened to you right then?" She said, "Well," she said, "I don't know why I'm this way, but when something dangerous or something like that happens, I tend to just relax." Well, now, when it threw her in the water, she just relaxed and let herself go ahead and sink a little bit. If she'd have scrambled for the surface, that thing would have gone right over the top of her head. Well, I've noticed now, I've been married to her for 46 years, and I've noticed this is her way. This is what she does. I mean, the devil attacks her. She just kind of folds into God's word, and she just goes into her place of rest there with the Lord. She finds out what ammo to load her gun with when she comes out. I want you to know the devil or nobody else wants to be around when she comes out of there with her spiritual guns blazing. Yeah. And that's who we are, Jeremy. Yeah. We're not the depressed. We're the victors.
Mm-hmm. This is the how-to. What you just said, the example you just gave, is the how-to of the spirit of faith. It's to be at rest. Let it all, if it's falling apart.
I was just like this one day. Gloria came in there and she talked about the shirt. She said, "It takes the same amount of time to be in faith as it does in unbelief." Mm-hmm. Make your choice. Okay. Settle me back down. Yeah. She's taught me this over the years. You don't quit.
Yeah.
You believe God.
Yeah.
What's her best saying? Get over it. Believe God.
And I'm learning the same things from Sarah. I mean, I'm watching right now. We've been married just a little while, but I'm watching her get into the Word of God like I know to do. But I'm watching her do it, and I'm watching the same thing. That same spirit of faith rise up in her.
Yeah.
That unwillingness to quit. That we are gonna be used by God. We are gonna fulfill the call of God on our lives. And this spirit of faith that her family and the body of believers she comes from, it was demonstrated in front of her. And husbands and wives and families, the reason I'm saying this is because I've never seen anything quite like the power of agreement, but like I'm watching it between the two of us.
Oh, man.
I was told by people going in, they said, "When you guys get in agreement, you've never seen anything like it. It'll really change." Oh, wow, that's great. Yeah, looking forward to that. But I wasn't ready for this. the power of agreement. When she and I come into agreement on something and we set our faith for it, be it in our giving or our receiving, and I'm watching things happen now, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I'm thinking, my goodness, that's big.
Yeah, it goes out into a place that you don't have the ability to imagine it until you get over there. Gloria and my agreement together over the years, our marriage, it has come into a place. We're living in our marriage every day now. In an area that I didn't know existed, Jeremy. I mean, we'd been married for 25 years before I knew this area of marriage even was available. It's a level that you can't hang on to this down there and look up in there and see if that's something you want. No, you dump the natural way of life and you get into that place where Jesus said you lose your life, you get it back, you'll gain it. Amen. And it's all right there in that 2 Corinthians 4.
Yeah. And this is really what I want us to get to today, and it goes right along with what we're saying here. And let's kind of recover what we said here in verse 16. We do not lose heart. We're not quitters. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction. You need to learn to say that. We need to learn to say it. This is light. This is nothing. We need to learn to say this about the things we're dealing with. It's for a moment. Just change your perspective on the whole thing. This is nothing. This is light. This is momentary. He goes on, he says, it's working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, this is what I want to get to today. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I love dealing with this, especially with young people, because the tendency is to get so wrapped up in this little 3-foot circle of drama that's going on in life. And I can't believe it. And oh, this is so tough. And this is so hard. And I just don't know what to do. And I can't figure it out. And really the question is not, what am I going to do? The question is, what has he already done?
That's really it.
And when you make that statement, when you begin to ask the right question, then you're taking your eyes off of what is temporary and putting your eyes on what is eternal. So my question for you today is, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? What's your vision fixed on? What are you staring right at? And I keep mentioning this, but the Lord really brought a lot of things up to me on this trip several months ago to Little Rock there at Agape Church. Pastor Caldwell, they took great care of Sarah and I. They put us in a beautiful hotel, and we stayed in a room up there. And when we checked into this room, I was just looking around in the great big window overlooking the city there, and I walked over to it, and hanging on the drapes was this little plastic clip, just kind of a little banana clip thing, you know, you just bend it back and stick it on something. I'm looking, why is this hanging here? And I looked on it and it said drape clip. And I got to thinking about it. And that is a really, that to me, beautiful hotel, but that right there made it luxury. Because how many times have you been in a hotel when you lay down at night and it's pitch black in the room except for that little sliver of light coming right down the drapes there.
And it won't stay closed.
And you go over and you're yanking it and you're yanking it and you're yanking it and you lose your cool over the drapes.
This only happened to me a few days ago, man. And I shoved those drapes up in the window where the bottom of them, I just wadded it up and shoved them up in the window and finally got it stuck.
Yeah.
And I just got over in the bed. The air conditioner came on and blew them back out of the window and opened it went. I got so irritated. And then I started laughing at myself, yeah. You dumb you.
How temporary. Now notice, how many times do we give our emotions?
Man.
We get angry. And some people, you cussing out the grapes. The drapes, you're cussing out, you know, the stupid screwdriver that didn't broke it, you know, on and on and on. Now listen, we have got to learn to see the difference between what is temporary and what's eternal. And if we're in a habit, this sounds stupid, this sounds like we're talking about nothing little stuff, but I'm telling you, you can get into a habit of giving your emotions over to drapes and whatever else that's irritating you. And when trouble shows up,
That's what you
would Those do. Emotions are right there on the surface. And if all you can see is what's temporary, and you can't look into the heart of this thing with through the eyes of the Spirit and say, Father, show me what's eternal here.
Yeah.
Knowing what to do when trouble comes. I have discovered and determined that there is not much more on this earth more valuable than that. Knowing what to do. Because there are people that will throw in the towel based on this question, I just don't know what to do.
If you knew what to do,
it wouldn't be trouble.
It wouldn't be trouble.
Yeah.
And James chapter 1's got you covered. Mm-hmm. The Word will cover you in any situation because it is eternal. These temporary things, the meaning of the word temporary is it's subject to change.
Mm-hmm.
The Word's not changeable. It's not subject to change.
Yeah.
I noticed the Lord dealing with me about this, Jeremy, in this area. Frustration, anger, and anxiety. And he began to... This sounds like it happened over a few minutes, but it was several weeks that went by here, and I had asked for it, and God was really showing it to me. And he said, now, don't practice anger. He said, don't get angry at inanimate things. Don't get angry at, you mentioned that screwdriver. Don't get mad at that thing. Don't get mad at the drapes. Don't get mad at your own hair. Who cares what your hair looks like, man? I mean, you have a great time of worship and praise. And then before you can get out of the house, you got mad because of the way your hair looks and you lost everything you got in prayer that morning. And that's a bad trade, man. Now, practicing anger, anxiety, and so forth, particularly on inanimate things like that, you get to where you do it, oh, man, just that little bit. When you're practicing that, it stays at the ready all the time. And then something does happen. Well, that anger will just jump out there before you can get it back. Why? Because you're practicing it all the time. But if you'll begin to practice the love of God and practice the Word of God, and you want to throw that thing across the room, say, no, and just put it back down there. In the name of Jesus, this whole situation is a temporary thing. Now, Lord, what should I do here? And he'll show you.
Yeah.
There is a way to fix those drapes.
Yeah.
But, now think, if you get mad enough and tear them down, you're going to have a gap in the wall this wide and not this wide. So they can't do anything but make it worse. But the way you develop in this right here, the way you develop in these situations is what you'll do in the big situations.
Yeah.
This is where development really comes.
The reason I'm so passionate about teaching this to young people, because of what you just said, we're practicing.
All the time.
Every day is practice for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? Every decision we're making today is laying a foundation. Is taking us in a direction for tomorrow. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching these young people, because it's not just young people that can't get out of this little drama circle. It's grown-ups, too. It's big church has trouble with it, too. Why? Because as a teenager, they got so wrapped up and so distracted by their own thing going on. And one of the biggest things we teach the young people in this church is get outside yourself. Meet the needs of somebody else.
Tempted
with depression, go serve somebody with everything you got. You bless them until you get yourself out of that. And there's some real practical things you can say and you can do in the middle of these situations. I use this one quite a bit in Acts chapter 20. This seems to be our recurring theme. The Apostle Paul, he says here, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears, trials, which happened to me by the plotting. He's got people plotting against him, the plotting of the Jews. How I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that chains and tribulations await me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. I'm telling you, if you will make a habit of life out of saying that, none of these, just say it. None of these things move me.
Every time I hear that, I think about Keith Moore. I can just see that. I can just see him doing this. Mm-hmm. It had just been a dump on Keith day. I mean, he said everything he knew, everything around him just dumped on him that day, all day long. And he got to the place where he was just, boy, he was about ready to pull his hair out. He said he walked through the front door of his house. And he's standing there in the living room, and he had his briefcase in his hand. He just threw his briefcase down and sat down in the middle of the floor and said, none of these things move me.
Yeah. Amen. And you know what? If you'll practice this where we keep talking about these drapes or just silly little surface temporary kind of stuff, if you'll practice on that, then what Paul's talking about with tears and trials and pressure and plotting, if you have a life built on the practice of none of these things move me, then line them up. Let them lie about you. Let them cheat on you. And you stand there and say, none of these things move me.
Think
it's temporary.
Think about how we train to do anything. I don't care what it is. But think about the military. You're training a guy that's going to have to be going into some hard days ahead. He's going to face death and all this kind of thing. But you don't start him out trying to kill him. You start him out on a much shallower level than that. He begins to learn how to fight. How you're training him for combat, but he's learning on little things. Mm-hmm. He goes to the range. He has to learn the weapon. He has to learn all of these things. But all of this training stacked together comes together when the day comes and he's actually in combat. He's actually facing this. He didn't even have time to think about it, but all that stuff that he did for the past 2 years all of a sudden comes together without him having to think about it. All of the things that you practice on the drapes and the hair and your relationship with one another, and you practice loving, and you practice faith, and you practice the word over and over, and you correct yourself, and you repent, and you believe God for a pair of socks. You don't start out believing for healing for cancer. You start out, and the more you conduct yourself in this manner, and then something does hit you, all your training comes into play. That's when you say, none of these things. Me, praise God.
Eyes fixed on what's
eternal.
Eyes
fixed on what's eternal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment.
Wouldn't it be nice to wake up in a perfect world where nothing ever goes wrong? But what do you do when you wake up in this world? How should you react when you feel rejected, angry, or when your heart is hurting? In this audio series by Jeremy Pearsons, you'll learn to draw out the nature of Christ that lives in you and act like Jesus no matter what you face.
Little Joe, is it because I am pretty and you want to kiss me?
In The Wasted Kiss, Jeremy teaches on what God created your lips for.
It's about giving you the weapons that you need to survive this life. Because if God on the throne has His way, you and I will be victorious in this life.
On the cutting edge of modern worship, Thank You is the latest from Marcus Kenny and delivers powerful new songs for this generation of faith-filled worshipers. The 1440 Package, tools to help live your life for the glory of God, every minute, every day. Order the 1440 package today for only $25. This package contains two teaching messages on CD by Jeremy Pearsons and a music CD by Marcus Kenny. These resources are sure to make an impact on your entire family. Purchase your package online through our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
Now, if you've got children, you have grandchildren, or maybe you don't have any children, but your family, or you may be a school teacher. You need to know these things. Jeremy, what do I do when? Why did you preach that? There's five messages in there. Now, why did you preach that?
The Lord put this on my heart in a way to draw out the nature of Christ Jesus that was already on the inside of these young people. And you do that. There is an attribute of his character that is applicable to every situation.
You guys don't babysit, do you?
No, sir. No, sir.
I mean, not even in the little ones. They're learning the Word of God. I don't care how little they are or how old they are. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. What did you have in mind when you did that?
Well, you don't want to ask what I was thinking about. But the Wasted Kiss was a message pulled out of a series that we do annually called Pure Life. And we walk our young people through the Word of God and demonstrate to them what it is to live pure, live holy, live right and pleasing before the Lord. And the Lord put a very practical message on my heart with this and asking these young people, what were your lips created for? What was that mouth of yours made for? And the psalmist tells you over and over, my lips will praise you. With my mouth, I will bless your name.
Praise
and the Lord says, if you'll do what's right, he makes a promise and says, I'll satisfy your mouth with good things.
Outstanding.
So,
yeah.
There's some stuff in there.
Give me that back.
Yeah,
I don't know what I should have myself. Now, tell me about Marcus.
Marcus Kinney, my best friend and partner in ministry for a long time. He's written some new songs and recorded here at the ministry, and this is a new release from our youth group. And this, I think, is one of the best things musically that's come from our church and from our youth ministry. You need this. You'll enjoy it.
Praise God. Now, do whatever's necessary and get your hands on these things and use them. Now, Southwest Believers Convention, August the 4th through the 9th, right here in Fort Worth, Texas, our hometown. Super kids, ages 6 to 12, the 1440 junior high school students. I mean, powerful thing. A whole week of building and living in the Word and the manifestation of God's presence. Appreciate you, bud. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearson reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th through 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Special services also include Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school. Call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
In all of this, it has to come to the point where we value God and His Word and the blessing at work in our lives above anything and everything.